Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These are conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life, and how they have overcome certain situations. I hope that these episodes will inspire your life in some way, so enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life and can be found on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Christina Dunlap is a cinematographer, and her passion is fueled by the belief that people can be brought together by a shared visual experience. So she finds a way to visually translate someone's innermost thoughts and feelings to an audience through movement and lighting and color. She did the cinematography for the 2022 film Cha-Cha Real Smooth and for Am I Okay? And she's done the cinematography for music artists for their music videos, which include Lizzo, Coldplay, The Chainsmokers, Katy Perry, and most recently for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. She also has some filming credits under her belt. In 2018, she filmed Brandi Carlile's music video for Party of One. American Fiction is her most recent film project that was shot in 26 days and directed by Cord Jefferson. It's about a man, played by Jeffrey Wright, that deals with the internal challenges of not being able to relate to people, of feeling society's pressures of telling him how a Black person is supposed to act, and family drama like sibling rivalry, an aging parent, and the past and the present butting up against each other all the time. Also in the film is Erica Alexander, Tracy Ellis Ross, and Sterling K. Brown. In this interview, we talk about what a cinematographer does, the challenges she faced while filming, and why the film, which has some Oscar nominations are out today, what it means to her. So enjoy this podcast interview with a Hollywood cinematographer, and I hope that you take away something that you can apply to your life. And go see the film American Fiction, which is in theaters now. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to answer a few questions about the film.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, so I'll jump right into, how would you describe to a 10-year-old what you do?
That's a great question. I am the person who designs the lighting and camera movement and runs the camera on set.
Okay. Because when people hear cinematographer, like at the Oscars, the award for that, or hearing that word, they may not understand what that means. So that offers some clarity. Okay, so this segues into my next question. I read somewhere that you lied your way into the camera crew of a video being shot at USC when you were 16, and that you continued to work your way through your college years at USC. And the question is, why is the best education on set and not always in the classroom?
I wasn't affiliated with USC at all at that time. I was in high school, and I met someone through a friend who was the director, and they were making a music video. Okay. And I ended up going and taking stills on that set. And then I went to community college for 2 years. And then I did end up transferring to USC for the last 2 years because I really wanted to experience film school, but to your point, I think I absolutely learned more on set than I did. And it depends on, the teachers that you have and the people that you meet. There are a lot of great things that can come out of a more formal setting, but you're never going to learn quite what it's like on a real set until you're there facing, the issues that come up and seeing how a set is run.
Gotcha. And do you feel that by the time you transferred to USC that you already had a lot of on-hands knowledge that maybe helped you with your coursework?
USC was kind of different because you don't choose what you want to focus on. You sort of have to learn everything. So you take sound classes and production design and editing. And I think I found editing the most helpful apart from cinematography, but I knew that I wanted to be a cinematographer. So I didn't get to focus on it as much as I would have liked to. But I think also I went there at a time when they had just started. My first year we shot on film, and my second year they transferred to digital cameras. And they had the Sony EX1s, which were obsolete by the time I graduated. So I think for everyone involved, the students and the teachers, it was sort of a learning experiment for everybody because these were, newer cameras and they were used to teaching on film. And when I was working on sets, no one was using those cameras. People were sort of, all shooting on film or just starting to use the red one, which had come out.
Gotcha. And your major, when you go to USC Film School, what is the major that you come out with?
Cinematic arts.
Okay, cinematic arts. And how did you know that it was your calling or it is your calling like to do cinematography?
Yes, yeah. I'm just saying at USC, you have to study everything. And I wanted to s study cinematography more specifically, but we had to take all these other classes. I did find editing really useful, and I still, I'm glad to have that knowledge to this day because it helps me in planning shots and making shot lists and understanding what, the editor, what's going to be useful to the editor.
For this film, American Fiction, what does a day on set look like for you?
The days were really packed. We were trying to get a lot done because we shot the film in 26 days, which is abnormal for, a film like this. Usually you have a bit more time. So we, Cord and I would get to set in the morning and go over the plan for the day with our AD Lenny often. And then I would sort of, meet with my crew who had all been prepped on what the scenes we were doing, but we would talk about the first scene and as they were starting to light, Cord and I would walk through the blocking. Oftentimes the actors come to set. We let them run the scene. I like to see naturally what they want to do and then plan my camera angles around that. Oftentimes, I've already made a shot list and I have in my head how I want to shoot it. And so I see if that works with what they're feeling and we sort of discuss, the plan of action after that. And then the actors go to get in costumes and makeup. We finish lighting and talking through the blocking, and then we will, when they come back, we will film the scene. And we just sort of do that from scene to scene to scene.
Wow, and about how many scenes are shot a day?
It depends on how long the scene is, how many pages it is. I think typically in, narrative work, they try to keep it to under 6 pages a day. But there were some days where, like when Issa and Jeffrey were sitting at the table, it's sort of a longer scene that's maybe 8 pages, but there's not as much coverage. So we were able to shoot that and another scene the same day. Whereas a scene like when, I'm trying to think of a good example of when maybe Monk comes home for the first time and, we meet Lorraine and we meet his mom and there's a lot of moving parts. That scene is a lot shorter, but it will take longer to shoot.
Gotcha. And one question I wanted to ask, but you touched on it, is like, do you work directly with the actors? And it sounds like you do, like talking to them and hearing their views on things for
Yeah,
that.
I mean, some directors don't want you to speak to the actors at all. They want to be the only point of contact. And in those circumstances, sometimes myself or the camera operator might just say, "Oh, can you take a little step to your right or to your left just to make sure they're hitting their marks or they're in the right positions." But other directors, are extremely collaborative and they're happy to let everybody workshop the scene together during the blocking sessions. So it depends. And, there's some moments when I can tell the actor is really in the scene and I don't want to disrupt them or their process. So I just adapt to what they're doing. And there are other times when, the camera move is really specific. It's important we hit certain marks, and then I might ask the director if it's okay to make adjustments.
Gotcha. What was the most challenging scene that you found in the film?
I think the hardest scenes were often because of the elements that we were up against, whether we had a lot of thunderstorms in summer in Boston, and then the night that we shot with the legendary Leslie Uggams on the beach, we had extremely high winds. So we had lights up in these sort of, they're called condors, but they're like cherry picker cranes that go up and you put a light up in there. And it was too windy for us to keep it at the height that we needed to. So we kept having to retract it and then put it back up. And, it was very dark on that beach. So it was our only source of light. And poor Leslie was waiting in the water in a nightgown. So we were trying to shoot it as quickly as possible because it was cold. But, she's such a pro. She was totally game to keep going. And I think Jeffrey asked her at one point, are you okay if we do another take? And she said, "We're making a movie." So she was just, really in the scene. And it was just more challenging because of the elements, but everybody was extremely professional and we were able to get it done.
That sounds awesome. It seems like the crew or j just the film was like a family environment. Hilda mentioned that in some notes I was reading. Did you feel that it felt like a family?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a local crew in Boston, and I actually hadn't worked with any of them before, which is rare. So I was a bit nervous going in, but they were extremely talented and just up for all the challenges that we faced, and that really fosters an environment that's like family. And then, on that to that same note, working with Cord, he's such a generous and collaborative person. He was extremely welcoming of everyone's ideas, and that, went through to the post process where I got to come to a few cuts that Hilda, while Hilda was editing, and meet her for the first time because we don't meet on set. You know, we were emailing back and forth and she was getting dailies, but I didn't get to meet her till we were done shooting. And so then through that, through the whole editing process and color timing, where we, you know, color the film, and even doing these interviews and getting to meet Laura, our composer, it is really like a family. They're all just the most wonderful people, and I think we all really look forward to collaborating again on something together.
Yeah, you mentioned the word dailies. What are dailies?
Dailies are everything that you shoot that day gets sent to the editor and processed and, you know, uploaded into their system. And then you can watch back the raw footage that you shot that day, the day before.
Gotcha. It's, I'm sure, very helpful for them as they're thinking about editing. Okay. So a last few concluding questions. I'm thinking about the scene of when Lorraine tells Cliff that he can come to her wedding. Just before that, it was a comedy scene in the kitchen with his lovers, but that scene was a serious one that certainly touched my heart. And he realizes that he's loved and accepted, which I don't know, might make him grow up a little bit and be there for the women that need him, like his ex-wife or his mother whose cognitive health is failing. How do you shoot comedy scenes versus drama scenes? And are there any specific scenes from the film on tackling two, like those kind of comedy and drama scenes?
I mean, I think you picked the perfect scene. It's funny because watching the film for the first time, you know, when we were shooting it, it was of course extremely emotional, but you're just coming out of the comedy on set. So when I first watched the cut of the film, that was the scene that made me cry, which I maybe wouldn't have expected from being on set. There were so many touching scenes, and while that was one of them, it was the way that, you know, it was edited together, I think, and of course Sterling's performance, but it really touched me as well. And it is tough to go between the two tones, but I think, you know, something Cord and I discussed from the beginning was that this film is about the family, and that is the heart of the film. So we always wanted to honor that. So I always approached it as a drama with comedic elements, even though I think a lot of people would call it a comedy. But a lot of times in comedy, people this the style of the camera is to shoot it very wide and have it be very lit so you can see people's body language, and you know, there's physical comedy and what's going on, and you can see everyone's reactions in a scene. But to me, it was important that we were closer and tighter in our coverage on the characters because there's so much emotion going on. You know, they say that I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, but they're in the script, it goes back and forth so quickly, but our approach was to just, you know, pick specific moments where we want to do a comedic shot. And a lot of times, you know, if the comedy would come out in the editing, like in the scene when they're on the phone with Paula Baderman and we're kind of in close up on her, and then we pull back wide to reveal the art on her walls, when she's talking about the prison system and incarceration. And it just felt like, you know, that was the perfect moment to reveal the space. And so that shot was always intended to be comedic, but the meat of the scene is when we're in tight on her, so we can see what's going on in Jeffrey's face in those moments, and her face as well.
Gotcha. So it's a lot to do with like how tight you get on a person in a scene versus pulling out to the
Exactly.
tones. For someone who was directly involved with making the film, What did you learn? What did you take away from the film? Having worked on it, I'm curious. I'm sure, like somebody who, versus somebody who only saw the film, the answers are going to be different, obviously. But I'm just curious, as you were hands-on making it, how did it touch you? What did you take away from it?
I mean, it touched me in a lot of ways. And I think that's what's so brilliant about this film is it can mean something different to everyone that watches it. Whether you're a sibling and you have a complicated relationship, or you've had to take care of an ailing parent, or you've felt like you're an artist that isn't understood, or you've faced discrimination, and there's something that everyone can relate to, no matter what walk of life you're in. And I to be a part of something like that was just really special to see how many people this film is touching and how many people can take away something from it. And just being on set, I think realizing what it means to build a film family, like we touched on earlier, but working with Cord was such a wonderful experience, as well as Hilda and everyone else involved in the film. And I think just looking forward to doing that again with everybody. And I guess, like, in terms of filmmaking, we were up against a lot of challenges, and it was a very tough schedule. And I think something that was so great about working with Cord is, since it was his first film, he wasn't set in his ways of doing things. He was really open to whatever presented itself in the moment. And that was very refreshing for me, because we have a shot list and we have a very specific plan that we want to carry out. But anytime there was a curveball thrown, while another director might have gotten really frustrated and upset and, wanted to find a way to make our plan work, Cord was really great at pivoting in the moment, saying, "Okay, well, that's not going to work, so let's go this direction." And he was not, stuck on doing something a specific way. Everything was flexible. So I think, learning that again, and it sort of felt like my earlier days of filmmaking, where you might not, you just aren't as rigid. And I think that was something that I took away on the creative side that I want to carry with me, that, how important it is to be flexible, and that some of the best creativity can come out of the challenges that present themselves on any given day.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak. I hope that y'all get some Oscar nominations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We It was great to chat with you.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.